Well, this morning I come to this sermon with fear and trembling. The title you may have seen earlier on the screen is Maleness and Femaleness. I'm going to speak today on what do we mean by a true man and what do we mean by a true woman. We've been looking in this series in Genesis at some basics, creation, where did the world come from? We've looked at rest, we've looked at identity, and now we come to what is a true man, what is a true woman, because male and female, he created them. You may have heard this week on the news that International Women's Day was on this week, and the Labour Party refused to define what a woman is. The person who was asked was their shadow Home Secretary, Yvette Cooper, a female woman MP. And when she was asked to say what a woman is, she refused. Either she was unable or she was unwilling to do so, to define what a woman is on International Women's Day. And J.K. Rowling of Harry Potter fame mocked Yvette Cooper publicly and said, maybe International Women's Day should be renamed as We Who Must Not Be Named Day. Because if you can't define what a woman is, then does that mean a woman is unimportant, insignificant, doesn't matter? But you know why this is happening, as I know why this is happening. There are some very aggressive agendas nowadays being peddled, particularly the transgender agenda. We'll come back to that later on. And because those who shout the loudest get heard the most, the majority feel cowed into silence. And all sorts of confusion has been caused in our world today that wasn't there when I was a lot younger than what I am now. And our young people are growing up in this world where all sorts of seeds of confusion are being sown. So today I want to answer the question, what is a woman and what is a man? And I want to address that from the Word of God. Before I do that, let me show you first of all today that men and women, and I want to come back to this, we've touched on this already in our series in Genesis, but men and women before God are equal. In the sense that both men and women bear the image of God. Then God said, Genesis 1 verse 26, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Notice God's use of plural pronouns. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Here's an early hint in the Bible. We've seen it already. But here's another one, that whilst God is one, within the Godhead, there is more than one. Later we learn of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the point here is that both male and female are made in the image of God. Women are not sub-creatures. Women are not second-class citizens, as some cultures and countries treat them. But they are as much made in the image of God as men are. But that's not to say they have the same roles. There are different roles within the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They are different, but they are one. They have different roles, different functions. And we're not saying today that men and women are identical, because they're not. But they have different roles, even though both are made in the image of God. Some people want to abolish male and female altogether. That's the kind of agendas that some people want to push, but male and female, God created them. And the point here is that human worth comes from God. And you see, this is why our society today is moving away from these beliefs, because when you get away from God, then anything goes. You can just sell anything or push anything when you've lost your moorings in God. It's not that womanhood is ultimate. It's not that manhood is ultimate. It's God who is ultimate. So we're not to worship womanhood. We're not to worship manhood. It's God who is to be worshipped. And a lot of people are going wrong in this because they are worshipping manhood. They are worshipping womanhood. And it's leading to all sorts of sin in their lives and all manner of sinful choices. But notice also here that whilst men and women are made in the image of God, it's not all male. It's not all women. It's male and female. He created them. There's a difference. I've said this already, but I'm emphasizing it. There's a distinction between man and woman. We're not unisex robots. You know those hairdressers, unisex? Anybody can go in, a man or a woman. But that's not the way God made us. We're not unisex. That's why there's unisex toilets, by the way, nowadays being pushed more and more and more because, oh, we're all the same, aren't we? Well, no, we're not. Male and female, he created them. We're different. And this is what we are being presented with here in the Bible, that when God created mankind, he created them male, one or the other. And I know you remember back to school biology days, we were told by the biology teacher, as I was, that in terms of chromosomes, men are XY, women are XX, and I'm not a biology teacher, but I've looked into this and I remember being taught this, that yes, everybody in the human race is either male or female, but there are a very, very small section of people. There are fetal abnormalities, very, very small section. Unfortunate tiny percentage of such people who are intersex, as it is called. But the vast, vast majority of people that are born, when they are born, the midwife looks at the baby and she says it's a boy or it's a girl. If people today want the midwife to say, oh, I don't know what it is, well, wait until the child grows up, till it decides what it wants to be. That would be, if a midwife is asked to do that, she's asked to say a lie. If it's born with certain, you don't need me to go into the body parts. If it's born with certain boy parts, it's a boy, and girl parts, it's a girl. That's the way God made us. But sadly, nowadays, there is this distinction being drawn between your sex and your gender. The latter supposedly being fluid, your sex is male or female, and then they say there's the gender. This is what they're saying nowadays. But in the scripture, your gender and your sex are the same. They are one. You're either male or you're female, one or the other. Although, as I've said, there can be a very, very tiny, statistical, small amount of abnormalities. And yet we hear people nowadays coming out with these lines that I'm a man trapped in a woman's body, or I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. And then they talk about transitioning across genders. Now, I know people can have problems. And we all know that there are people who have been, let's say, effeminate boys or tomboy girls. But nowadays, with the availability of hormone-blocking therapy, plastic surgery, and social media influencers touting this sort of stuff, the referrals to doctors and specialist clinics has gone through the roof. So what's going on? So often, isn't it? It's a sign of people rebelling against God. They have been born male. They have been born female. But they want to do what they want to do. They don't want to accept what God has given them or who God has made them. And we are equal before God. Men and women, we are equal, but we are different. And we've got to accept who we are. In acceptance lieth peace. And God's word calls us to accept who we are, not to rebel against it. So let me move on. True maleness. What is a true man? Remember the BB used to talk about when I was in BB, true Christian manliness. What is a true Christian man? And by the way, whilst the BB talk like that, you can only be a true Christian man if you are a Christian man. It can only be like that if you've come to know the Lord to be truly a Christian man. But what does the world say a real man is nowadays? Do you know what the world says nowadays? A real man is someone who can hold his beer. A real man is someone who can pump iron. A real man is someone who can pull the birds. Am I allowed to say that? He can pull the birds and he can sow his wild oats. Oh, he's a real hairy-chested, red-blooded man. That's what the world says at the one extreme. But you know what the world says at the other extreme? It's funny how they go the other way sometimes. They say to us, men should feel guilty about being men. That's the modern way. You remember when Sarah Everard was murdered last year in London? Awful murder of an innocent girl. And do you remember the feminists in London came out and said every male in the country should be locked in and not allowed out after 6 o'clock at night? Every male. Because every man's a potential predator. And men go, oh, we're sorry, we're men. We feel bad we're men. And there has been such a shift, hasn't there, from the swaggering men of the 60s and the 70s. And a lot of that wasn't good. But nowadays, it's much more common that men are unsure of who they are. And they're sorry, afraid to be men almost. And to take a lead in work, in their families, in church. So where do we get our lead from? Well, I don't know about you, but the perfect man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people say he was a bit soft, wasn't he? Sandal wearing, long haired, hippie type, you know, not really a real man, really? Think of him standing up to the scribes and Pharisees in the temple for their religious hypocrisy. Whitewashed tombs, you're just full of dead men's bones. Took a man to say that. Or think of him in the temple, scattering the tables of the money changers with a whip, driving out the traitors, standing up against corruption, taking a stand against what was wrong. Took a man to do that. Or think of the men he gathered around him. I mean, think of the men he gathered, Peter and James and John, rugged fishermen. Simon, an ex-terrorist. And yet, they flocked to Jesus because he was a man who I believe in many ways was a man's man. Or think of the self-control that he practiced. Nailed above his head on the cross was King of the Jews. But first and foremost, you ever think about this? First and foremost, while he was the king, he ruled himself. He was in command of who he was. Men, that's how you will know that you are really a powerful man, that you are able to rule yourself and take control of yourself. It takes a strong man to lift weights. It takes an even stronger man to lift himself and be strong and not to lose control. But think of the care that Jesus showed to Mary on the cross. John, he cried out, behold your mother, and to Mary, Mary, behold your son. Yes, he was strong, but he also was caring and loving and concerned for others as he reached out to the sick and to the needy and to the diseased. And think of how he faced the cross. Let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And he drank the cup. He endured the parched tongue, the cruel insults, the dislocated joints, and he avoided an anesthetic. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that he was thinking about what he was doing above all else. Men, I want to be a man like that. I don't know, when I was thinking about this during the week and I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, there's just something rises up within me and says, I want to be a man like this. Not a male chauvinistic pig type of man, but a man who's like Christ. Filled with and practicing true Christian manliness. If you want to know what a true man is, look at Jesus Christ, how he treated women. Oh, how he treated women. Think of Mary Magdalene coming and wetting his feet with her tears and washing his feet with her hair. Did he abuse her? Did he mock her? Did he trample over her? Did he despise her? No. Think of how he treated women. We're thinking today about true maleness. Thirdly and finally today, and I really feel you're with me, I really feel you're listening, I really feel the congregation is still, but now I'm going into a minefield. True femaleness. A man is going to tell you what is true femaleness, ladies. But I know the men are going to listen. Because you want to know. Because male and you know, male and female, I'm called here as the Bible teacher, so I'm gonna do it. Male and female, he created them. So we have to cover female as well as male. And let me again make the point: females are different to men. Did you ever notice that? I mean, I've scribbled the notes out, but no, I'll not say it. I really shouldn't say that. But I was going to do a joke, but I'll not do a joke. But women are different to men. And yet think of how the world lays nowadays its expectations upon what is a real woman. You remember, girls, in the 1990s, the Spice Girls? Girl power. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. And I'm going to sing it over and over and over and over again. Because I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really, really want. And there has been this change in women, hasn't there? Not all women, but I'm just giving you general this morning. Girls are expected to be sassy, opinionated, career and self-fulfillment, everything. You can have it all, is the mantra of the women's magazines and motivational speakers. And I've listened to a woman speaker on this. A Christian lady teaching the word, I'll give you the link. Ask me for the link and she will, you can listen to her talk. It's just not a man speaking. I entered into a woman's world to understand, coming from a Bible perspective, how women think. And she said, this is what women are now expected, and marriage and children and homemaking nowadays. Oh, you're just a housewife. Say women to women. Is that all you are? Just bringing up children, is that it? And women are made to feel second-class citizens, often by other women, because they're not career-orientated. And they're made to feel insignificant and unappreciated. So what is true femaleness? What is true females? God blessed them. And it says in verse 28, having made male and female, he created them. God blessed them. God blessed being a female. It's good. Ladies, it's good to be a woman. And men, it's good to be a man. You shouldn't be ashamed of your sex, your gender, whatever word you use that means the same thing. You shouldn't be ashamed of it. It's good to be a man. It's good to be a woman. First of all, true femaleness is recognizing you're not a man. So don't try to be a man. And there's a grace in accepting what God has made. It's the same for men. I mean, men, you're not a woman, so don't try to be a woman. Be a man. There's a grace in accepting what God has made you. Psalm 40 puts it like this: I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. So delight in being a woman. This is to be a true female. Why would you want to be a man? They're smelly. They're hairy. They're untidy. God made you the way you are, out of his amazing wisdom, so accept it. It's good to be a woman. Good to be a girl. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't anybody put you down. You're not a second-class citizen. Male and female, he created them. But then also, you are able to do things that men can't do, like have children. Now, I know not every woman has a child. But you're able to do, you've got a womb. Men don't. I was reading journalists this week, and I mean, they were commenting on what that British MP had failed to define a woman. The female journalists kept coming back this time after time again that women are able to have babies. They can do what men can't do. Now, not every woman has a child. But women are made by God to be nurturers. I don't know, really, a lot of people don't know what Paul means in 1 Timothy chapter 2 when he says women will be saved through childbearing. But it's an indication of the unique role of women. You have something unique to give. You can have a baby, men can't. And that's why I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 when Paul talks about women there, he talks about mothers in particular, he talks about how he had interacted with a church in Thessalonica. He said, I was gentle among you, like a mother caring for her children. Maybe he was thinking of his own mother. He talked about love and sharing and hard work and care, all glorious attributes of womanhood. Loving and sharing and hard work and caring and bearing children. That's why, for example, 90% of the world's nurses are women. And 99% of the world's bricklayers are men. Because people naturally gravitate to what is their God-given natural strength. And women are naturally nurturers, naturally carers, naturally able to show love in a way that maybe us men aren't very good at. And we need to work harder. And if you want an example, I mean, I was thinking of Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 1, and what was said about her in Luke 1 verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb. There's the word again. The angel didn't say that to Joseph, because Joseph didn't have a womb. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. If you've got female body parts, you're a female. XX chromosomes. Rejoice in that. Be a woman. Do what God has called you to do. Elizabeth said Mary was blessed among women. It's blessed to be a woman. But there's an extra level, isn't there, when you submit to God's will and do God's way and live God's way. And what an honor. Can I say, ladies, it is an honor to be a girl. It is an honor to be a woman. And men, it's an honor to be a man. It's an honor to be male. In conclusion then today, I've entitled the sermon Maleness and Femaleness, and the Word of God teaches both, so don't let the world dupe you or indoctrinate you or seduce you Male and female, he created them. And I know there are families with really difficult situations. I know that. And people are struggling with sexuality, with gender, the way they put it that way. But it can be worked through with God. Live out your life as God your Lord shall choose. If you're male, be male. If you're female, be female. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body, the body he has given you. And don't listen to the agendas of the world. Don't let them confuse you. Live by God's word. And you'll find a firm foundation in a world that very often is like a sinking sand, like a sand pit, which if you go into, you'll not find any security at all. Let's pray.